All right, this morning's scripture can be found in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. When you get there, I'm going to ask you please stand to show reverence for the Word of God. And if you do not have a Bible, please see me after service, and I will give you a Bible that you can take and keep and use. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 9. And I ask you, please stand to show reverence for the Word of God when you get there. Now the reading of the Word of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, for now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We praise God for His portion of His holy word. This is the word of God. Amen. You may be seated. This morning's message is called The Goodness of God's Grace. A little bit of a piggyback off of last week. If you remember last week, we talked about being able to have victory in the bad times of life. And we looked at the saying of, you know, when bad things happen to me, there's three choices I can make, right? I can allow it to destroy me, I can allow it to define me, or I can develop from it. And the focus was to develop from it. This morning, we are looking in 1 Peter chapter 1 at the goodness of God's grace. Have you really stopped to think about how good it is to be in the grace of God? Have you personally take the time to think how good it is to be in the grace of God? What we receive that we don't deserve through our relationship through Jesus Christ. And so Peter reminds us of how good we really have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. If only we can stop and cut down on the complaining and the grumbling and focus on the goodness of God a lot more. Even when life here may seem like it's falling apart, God is still faithful, and His goodness and promises will last with us for all of eternity. Amen? So, Peter here starts out by telling why God deserves our praise. Peter calls us to give praise to God. And isn't it a shame that we got to be reminded so many times to give praise to God? It's not always one of those natural things. We need to get into the habit that naturally we praise God. And not just in the good times, but we learn to praise God also in the difficult times. Because God is still good and present and faithful in those difficult times. Amen? So Peter is going to give a couple reminders as to why we should be praising God. First off, in His great mercy. And as we know, mercy kind of means not receiving what we deserve. God holding back His wrath from us. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth, being born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you guys all remember Nicodemus, Nicodemus asked Jesus, how do I have eternal life? Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was confused, saying, well, I can't go back into my mother's stomach. I don't get that. And Jesus was talking about a spiritual rebirth, that when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells within you, and you are born again, anew, as your old self has been crucified through Christ, and the blood of Jesus has washed away your sins. Amen? So we praise God because in His great mercy, He has given us new birth through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Again, the term born again refers to a spiritual birth, regeneration, the Holy Spirit's act of bringing believers into God's family. This term is a wonderful metaphor of new life from God. To be brought into the family of God, to be able to reset, so to speak, to have a new beginning. At that moment of conversion, that moment of asking Jesus to come into your life, and that Holy Spirit comes to indwell with you, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're a child of God, you're a part of the family of God. And everything of our past is wiped away and clean. You cannot be a Christian without a fresh beginning based on salvation that Christ brings. To be born again is a magnificent gift from God. Christ has made us new. Christ has forgiven us. And Christ has made us free. And so in His mercy, He has also brought us into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It is kept in heaven for you. It's not just enough that God says, okay, I will wipe away all your sins by the blood of Jesus. It's not just enough that I'll bring you into my family and you will live with me forever. He says, I will also give you an inheritance that will never be destroyed. Kept in heaven for you. Now, an inheritance is what becomes yours by law after death of the present owner. It is usually land or property. In the Old Testament, the inheritance often refers to the country of Canaan. God gave Canaan to the Jews, who were the people whom He chose. Numbers 26, Joshua 11. That was their inheritance. In the New Testament, inheritance means all that people receive from God as His children because of what Jesus has done for them. Your inheritance is what you receive in heaven because of what Christ Jesus has done for you. This includes eternal life, John 5:24. This includes a new body, 1 Corinthians 15. God will also give rewards to Christians in heaven, Matthew 5, 1 Corinthians 3, Revelation 22, rewards and crowns, as we talked about earlier. But we do not know what these rewards may be. Christians receive just a small part of God's promise in this life, but they will receive His promise completely in heaven. Christians go to heaven when they die. If Jesus returns while they are still living in this world, He will take them straight to heaven, 1 Thessalonians 4, as we talked about a couple weeks ago with the rapture. God gives the Holy Spirit to each Christian, and this proves that He will keep His promise, Ephesians 1:14. You know, we receive right now the blessing of God and His Holy Spirit in our life to bring conviction, to give us understanding of His Word. We know that we have the assurances of His promises, that He will not leave us or forsake us, that He has a plan and purpose for our life, that if I die tonight, I will be in heaven. These are all promises I've received right now, the power of His Holy Spirit. But there are so many promises that we are going to receive on the other side of this earth when we go home to be with the Lord for all of eternity. That's when all the real stuff really begins, the great stuff, you know. There are going to be all kinds of just being in the glory of God and the plans that He has for us there. It goes on to say that this inheritance will never perish. That means it will never disappear. It is forever. You will never lose the inheritance that God has for you. The things that you gain in this world, you are going to lose at some point. You will lose family and friends because everyone dies. You will lose your house. You will lose your car. You will lose your bank statements. You will lose some of the good stuff that we'll lose. Our bills and our debts and all this, you know, our sicknesses. But the things that we try to accumulate here on earth, they're going to disappear. But the things that are for Christ are eternal. And if we can only get that through our mind, at least 70% of the time, that if I am living for the kingdom of God here on earth, the things that I am doing, the things I am volunteering for, the things I am working in ministry for the glory of God, they will last forever, and the proof will be in glory forever. But the things that I am wrapped up in myself, the things that I am wrapped up in just gaining for me, they are going to disappear at the end of the day. It's going to mean absolutely nothing. Secondly, it says they'll never spoil. In other words, they're unstained from evil and sin. This inheritance from God is unstained from evil and from sin. It'll never fade, unimpaired by time. Eternity is forever. It's so hard for us to get that understanding because we have finite minds. Why do we put so much effort in certain things with such a small amount of time when we can be focused on things that go on forever and ever and ever and ever? The inheritance is unimpaired by time. It will never fade. And finally, it is kept. God says it is kept, our inheritance. It is in the perfect tense. For those of you that are English majors or studied a little Greek, perfect tense indicating that our inheritance has already been put in safekeeping and it continues there. The moment you trusted in Jesus as your Savior, your inheritance was kept in safekeeping forever for you. So why else should we praise God? Well, through faith, it says we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the Lord. Shielded, again, present tense, of a different word meaning guarded by God's power through faith. When you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that very moment, from that moment on, you are shielded or you are guarded by God's power. By faith in Jesus Christ. By our faith, God guards and shields us by his power. Think about the shield of God upon your life. We know, what is there for us to fear? If he is for us, who can be against us? When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise him because he guards us by his almighty power, keeps us in his love eternally. Because of the promise just discussed, Peter says, in them we find rejoicing. It is especially an encouragement because of the suffering the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ were dealing with. The people that Peter was talking to here were going through tremendous persecution and suffering. You know, today, 1 out of 5 Christians are being persecuted today. So it'd be like, Carol, you're persecuted. Billy, you're all right. Bob, you're all right. Rosie, you know, Lenny, you're all right. Well, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then Anne-Marie, you're persecuted. You know, 1 out of 5. You think about, just here in this church, if you take that understanding of how many Christians are persecuted for their faith. In Arab countries, in China, and one of the worst places right now of persecution of Christians is North Korea. And we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters that love Jesus with all their heart. And guess what? It ain't easy to live for him, because if you're found out, you're thrown in a prison or you're killed for your faith in 2014. And it'd be nice to say it was getting better, but it ain't getting any better. It's only getting worse. And so Peter is encouraging brothers and sisters that are being persecuted. He says, though for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold. Paul's comparing, he's saying your faith, listen, your faith is greater, it has greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire. May it prove genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter here again tries to encourage our past Christian brothers and sisters who are enduring hardship and persecution because of their faith. This is no joke. Back then, they dealt with a lot of persecution, but if you think persecution of your faith isn't slowly coming to where we live, you're blinded. We talked about a couple weeks ago about how the prophecies of the Bible, we talked about how they're coming true. You guys remember when we discussed about Gog and Magog, the end times, they come down against Israel. And who was Gog and Magog? Russia, Ukraine, that whole area. How things are coming together. You know that in part of the new health care plan that is in our country, that one of the things they want to push is that everyone gets chips in your forearm and your head, so that they can be able to have all your doctor medical knowledge right there on the computer, so that when you go to the store, you don't have to have a credit card because of all the fraud, credit card fraud. You carry it with you right under your skin. I think that was talked about in the Bible a couple thousand years ago before anyone could even understand how that could happen. The church needs to wake up. The church needs to wake up and understand that persecution is a real thing. And you need to understand that Jesus needs to be your all in all. And you need to be set that you are living for Him and Him alone. For many Christians, as they read this, they don't think about 2,000 years ago, the Christians suffering and being persecuted. They're reading this and say, this is for me because I'm in persecution. So here's a couple reasons why these Christians were persecuted in this time. Number one, they refused to worship the emperor as a god, and thus they were viewed as traitors. Because they did not worship the emperor in charge, they were viewed as a traitor. Number two, they refused to worship at pagan temples. So business for these money-making enterprises dropped wherever Christianity took hold. Number three, they didn't support the Roman ideals of self-power and conquest, and the Romans scorned the Christian idea of self-sacrificing service. And number four, they exposed and rejected the horrible immorality of pagan culture. Let me say that if not all of those things are things that you can easily see happening again with ease. Christians in our country today already receive scorn and are told that we're intolerable if we don't go along with what the culture says is the way to look at things. Peter mentions trials and suffering several times in this letter. All believers face such trials when they let their light shine into darkness. So we must accept trials as part of the refining process that burns away impurity and prepares us to meet Christ. If you, I don't know, Bob and I, we talk a lot about, we like to watch Gold Rush, right? And it's about them going up in the Klondike and looking for gold. And then when they finally find their gold, you know what they do? They get it together. And a lot of times, especially back in the day, they would you heat up the gold so hot to melt away the impurities so that all that you have is just pure gold. What Peter is saying is, and this applies to us today, when you go through trials, you are that precious gold to God. And those trials sometimes need to be looked at as the heat that is placed upon us to melt away the impurities, to teach us to trust God and God alone, to remove more of ourself from our life and life situations and struggles. As gold is heated, impurities float to the top and can be skimmed off. Likewise, our trials, our struggles and persecutions refine and strengthen our faith, making us useful to God. When you go through trials and difficulties, you're not just going through them just to go through them. Now, we know there's many reasons why we go through them. Some of them are because of our own fault, our own poor choices, our own poor understanding. Other of them are things that happen because of just we live in a sinful world, such as sickness. You know, why am I sick? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did this person die? It's because of sin. Sin has corrupted our bodies. We get sick. God will use the trials in our life to purify us more and more. When we go through struggles in life, we shouldn't be saying, why, God? We should be saying, God, why? Show me what you want me to learn in this. Instead of asking why me, we should respond to suffering with these responses. And, you know, if you take notes or just hold on to these, okay? Hold on to these. Three things that we should respond with life's trials and difficulties. Number one, respond with confidence that God knows the plan and directions of our lives for the good. It's hard to calculate sometimes, but God always provides His love and strength for us. God leads us towards a better future. When you deal with trials and difficulties, you need to face them with confidence. Why? Because you're not some bum on the street. You're a child of the King. Amen? Amen? I'm the only one losing my voice this morning. Confidence in who we are. When I face that trial and difficulty, no matter how hard it is, He is with me. He wants what's best for me. I will trust Him to walk me through it. Number two, perseverance. When facing grief, anger, sorrow, and pain, we express our grief, but we don't give in to bitterness and despair. Instead, we persevere. Satan wants you to give in to bitterness and despair and hopelessness and all those things we talked about last week. You persevere because you walk in the grace and mercy of God. Number three is you walk it in courage. Because with Jesus as our brother and Savior, we need not be afraid. He who suffered for us will not abandon us. Jesus carries us through everything. He will not abandon us. He will not leave us alone. We know the scripture says that we can go to Jesus, our great high priest. Why? Because He also walked in this flesh and knows what it's like to go through the trials of this life and yet not to give in to temptation or not to give up our hope. That's who I want to go to. The one who has gone through what I've gone through and He passed with flying colors. We walk in courage because of who we are in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So when you have these trials, I want you to think, I need to walk and face this in confidence, in perseverance, and in courage, because your God is greater. So Peter goes on to say in verses 8 and 9, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You know, Jesus had said this to His disciple Thomas. Maybe you guys remember this. I hope you do. Who came to believe after touching the resurrected Christ. And this is what Jesus said in John 20. You believe because you have seen Me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing Me. You are blessed today because you believe in the Son of God without having physically seen Him. You are blessed today because of it. Peter, having heard those words, repeats them here. He says, you love Him even though you have never seen Him. That faith brings both salvation and the promise of a day when pain will end and perfect justice will begin. Faith will be rewarded and evil will be punished. There will be a day. There will be a day when the struggles of this life will be a long, long memory. When the pain that you feel each day will never enter your mind again. The hurt and the pain and the sadness of your life, maybe struggles that you have gone through, will never be spoken of again. It will be you and your Savior. You and your God, you and your past loved ones who have also believed in Him, living in the joy and the peace of Almighty God. Amen? So what should we do until then? The Bible's answer is simple but not easy. Because we know the future, we must faithfully serve God here and now. Listen, every time, you know, in the bulletin, I always have a lot of the same things. You know, we're looking for helpers here, we're looking for helpers in the thrift store, we're looking for helpers for... I need to stop putting this stuff in the bulletin, and people need to just start stepping up and volunteering. And seeking to do stuff that's going to have an inheritance in heaven, instead of just being worried about the things here on earth. Amen? Amen? The Bible's answer is simple. We need to be faithful in serving God here and now. This is the only time you're given to serve God here and now. He put you for a reason. here and now to serve him. Here and now. When this passes, you're going to stand before Christ Jesus. And a lot of us are going to say, I wish I would have done more back then. Know what the big picture is. If today that means resolving a conflict, do it. If it means mending hurt, do it. If it means working a dull job. Anyone here work a dull job? Right away, brother. Working a dull job while being a witness at the same time, then do it. Confronting a belligerent child, then do it. Rebuilding a marriage, then do it. Waiting for guidance of the Holy Spirit, then do it. Do it all with the joy of God who will return with his reward. So as we close this morning, I would say we have a lot to give praise to God for. Won't you agree with me? These are things we have in difficulty. Just think of all the blessings we have from God apart from our difficulties, apart from our sufferings, apart from our trials. Because God is good. All the time. I tricked him. And all the time, God is good. And so this morning, grace that overcomes finding power to honor God in difficult times, God's grace and salvation, how good God's grace is. Apart from God's grace, I am lost. I am done. All right? Apart from God's grace, I can't get from here to there. Apart from God's grace, I messed up big time and there's nowhere for me to go. But because of God's grace, I'm no longer over here. I'm over here. I'm a child of God. My past is wiped away, and I live for him. And so by his grace, I give praise. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your grace. Lord, in the midst of our sufferings and trials, let us know that you have us and you will not forsake us. Help us, Lord God, to face these things in courage. Help us, Lord God, to face them with perseverance, Lord God. Lord God, we pray that we'd face them in courage. Because you are the one that, Lord God, is with us. And we will overcome. You will refine us as pure gold, Lord God. Lord God, I pray that we don't just worship on a Sunday when the guitars are playing. That, Lord God, we're worshiping in our car. Lord God, we're worshiping at home. We're worshiping at work. Everywhere we go, that, Lord God, we're giving a praise of thanksgiving for the goodness of your grace in our life. For I was once blind, but now I see. I was dead, but I am now alive by your Spirit. Lord, there's so many reasons to be blessed. We give you glory and thank you for them all. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close together as a church family, let's stand together and let's sing 10,000 Reasons.
Oh,
Listening to Voice in the Valley. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to come join us on a Sunday morning, we have a church van that can come and pick you up. Just call the church before 9 a.m. on Sunday. The phone number is 570-645-2212, and leave your name and your address and your phone number, and we'll come pick you up. Also, our Thankful Thrift Store is open every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 24 West Ridge Street, Lansford. The phone number is 570-645-9920. So if you get a chance, stop by, come in, say hi, and we have all kinds of things in the Thankful Thrift Store. We hope that you have a great and blessed week.